This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, let's do it. Power rank the power rankings. How impressed were the experts, or unimpressed, by the Texans' win over the Dolphins on Sunday? I think you had to be impressed, at the very least, with the defensive effort and the effort on special teams. Two of the three phases, as they like to say, Seth, I think were elite for the Texans on Sunday.
Honestly, the biggest thing that you can really start to bank on when the Texans play at home especially is that, man, quarterbacks who don't typically turn the ball over get real turnover happy versus the Texans. Jared Goff throwing five interceptions after he was on a tear of throwing nothing but touchdowns and hardly any interceptions.
Yep.
You made him cough the ball up five times. Tua doesn't turn the ball over much. It turns the ball over four times in that game. I mean, it was it's been impressive.
And Josh Allen, even when he came in week five, he didn't turn the ball over, but remember, he had two.
Oh, he
that
very
Aziz
easily.
Aziz Al-Shaire had two right in his hands.
Yeah.
Josh Allen had not thrown a single pick going into
and
that
and he completed
game.
30% of his passes.
That's right.
At home, especially, the Texans' defense has been doing a number on quarterbacks.
Why can't they get the number one
that's
seed?
That's why I want. Well, I know that's.
Why are you losing to the Jets and the Titans? Why?
You really want to relive why, Sean?
Why? No, I know the answer.
Yeah. No, but that's why I want. I want the Ravens at home. I know. I asked the question yesterday, would you prefer the Steelers or the Ravens at home? And yes, the Steelers are a more winnable matchup. But for that reason, if I want to go deep into the playoffs, at some point you're going to have to face the Ravens.
Yeah.
I want the Ravens at home. And if the way I get the Ravens at home is by playing them first, then so be it.
Yeah.
I'm not just trying to get a wild card victory. I've experienced those.
Yes,
I want them to
several.
Go further. So there, I think the best chance is if you face Lamar. If you face Lamar Jackson at home versus Lamar Jackson in Baltimore, it's just two
curtains.
Completely different scenarios
for
the way this defense plays.
Agreed. And boy, how are we gonna find out though if the Texans are capable of beating the Ravens at home? Oh, that's right, they play on Christmas Day, and you can win tickets this hour to that game on Christmas Day. It's a Texans Ticket Tuesday, giving away tickets this hour, the noon hour, and the 5 o'clock hour. So don't go anywhere. All right, let's power rank the power ranking, Seth. We have four outlets that we adhere to, that we hit for Texans power, for NFL power rankings. In no particular order yet, CBSSports.com, ESPN.com, TheAthletic.com, and Sports Illustrated, SI.com. Number four in the power ranking of the power rankings, and this is a guy who's been pretty bullish on the Texans really over the last couple of years, but he finds himself at the bottom of the heap. That would be Pete Prisco of CBSSports.com. He's got the Texans 14th overall, up one spot from 15th last week.
Yeah.
Here's what he says. They've clinched the AFC South, but the next 3 weeks have to be about getting right for the playoffs.
Yeah.
It's still not like we expected so far for their offense. I would say all accurate.
And I would say, too, that's when it comes to, you know, the debate over whether you rest starters in that Ravens game if it doesn't look like it could benefit you one way or the other. I need this offense on the field versus good competition as much as possible.
Even on 4 days rest.
Because, look, they chose to treat this offensive line in training camp like they were made men. You barely saw the tackles. They weren't playing in the preseason games. That Hall of Fame game, they're not rolling out any of their starters. I'm like, why? Why?
They're treated like vets.
Yeah, vets. That's right. And I'm like, okay, well, then treat this like your training camp and get ready for the actual playoffs by figuring some stuff out. I'm with you there. I think Pete's treating this almost like he's in the college playoff committee, where sometimes your rankings are almost kind of like, well, we're going to keep him right here. Maybe I actually feel a little bit higher about him, but we'll find out over the next 3 weeks or the next 2 weeks.
They'll get their chance. They'll get their chance. It gets really interesting. The Chiefs game, I'll tell you one prediction that I made before the season that I was way off on. Thanks, Bobby Slowick. Was that if C.J. Stroud was able to, if he were able to beat Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs on December 21st and then turn around and beat Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens 4 days later on Christmas Day, that C.J. Stroud would be the MVP of the league.
Mm-hmm.
The thought being that if they were capable of doing that, that they probably had maybe 10-4 or 11-3 record, and that C.J. almost by definition would be in the conversation along with those two guys for MVP and then beating them head-to-head. Wow. Especially on the road with Mahomes. C.J. Stroud could throw for 400 yards against each of those teams. He ain't sniffing the MVP.
Now it's almost like maybe he gets into the Pro Bowl if he has a couple of it. Well, except that the Pro Bowl voting ends after this week's game.
Yeah.
So that'll be it for that.
Yeah. Well, he's a quarterback. There will be like five quarterbacks that fail, and then he'll get in.
Yeah.
And he'll
go. But as far as being a named like first team or second team Pro Bowler.
Yeah, like deserving it.
Yeah, there's no chance of it.
Fourth on the list, Pete Prisco, CBSSports.com. Number three power ranking of the power rankings. TheAthletic.com. Seth, they've got the Texans holding steady at 13 right now. The category that they have, some of these power rankings have a different category they do each week for each team, like a paragraph on it, a blurb. MVP. The MVP of the Texans, and I can get with this selection, defensive end Danielle Hunter. Says quarterback C.J. Stroud gets graded on a tougher curve this year because of how good he was last season. That's what allows Hunter to earn this spot. The ninth year defensive end had 1.5 sacks against Miami. He's second in the league with 12 for the season. This is me adding this. I feel like 9 of those 12 have come in the last month. He's really come on strong of late. Since 2022, he's second in the league with 39 sacks, and Houston probably is pretty happy with its decision to give him 2 years, $49 million in free agency this past offseason. I know I'm happy about it. I'm glad Danielle Hunter is on this team. Look, C.J. Stroud's the most indispensable player on this team because of the position that he plays. If you're going into the playoffs with Davis Mills as your quarterback, you're not planning for a whole lot of long-term stuff. No disrespect to Davis Mills. But by the definition of how you do an MVP selection, because C.J.'s not been great this year, Danielle Hunter's been great this year.
Yeah, he's been very, very great and very, very consistent. And now,
and Jonathan, available.
You know, and Jonathan Greenard went off last night yet again. Jonathan Greenard's having a great year. That's I love the veteran presence of Danielle Hunter, and especially when you pair him with a guy that can be a tutor to Will Anderson. I think for the individual performance, yes, it's been good. Could you have gotten the same out of Jonathan Greenard? Maybe, but it's not like now if Danielle Hunter weren't having this kind of season and John Greenard was going off,
boy, that would be a debate.
That
huh?
would be a Ooh. Big one, right? So thank you, Danielle Hunter, that I don't have to talk about that routinely.
Yep.
The other interesting dynamic of that is that T.J. Watt's the favorite for defensive MVP. Yeah. Remember, J.J. Watt was a guy who even last year during the regular season had always said Danielle Hunter doesn't get the credit he deserves. Yeah. Danielle Hunter doesn't. He gets ignored because he was off playing in Minnesota in the Great White North. And now I feel like Danielle Hunter is still, he's what, fifth or sixth on the defensive player
sixth
of the year?
Sixth on the odds.
Or despite being second in the league in sacks. TJ statistically is beating him in a lot of areas. But also sacks, TJ's got 11.5 sacks. Danielle Hunter's got 12 sacks. I think at least part of it with TJ is that he's on a their defense has been more impressive than the Texans' defense overall.
Yeah.
So it makes sense, but you know, JJ, we should press JJ on this.
You should.
Like, JJ, wait, hey, I thought you said that Daniil deserved all these accolades.
I think he's in town, JJ. He Instagram storied a picture of a, you know, first person point of view looking out of an airplane window down at Houston with the H-Town sign emoji there.
So he's either in Houston or he told the pilot to buzz the city on his way to Miami or something.
Yeah, maybe. Oh, that's true. Yeah, yeah. Let me know when we're above.
That was a pretty low altitude, though.
It was.
Wasn't it?
Yeah. So you could literally see. You could read Toyota on top of the Toyota.
Can you tell whether from the wing, whether it's a private jet or an airliner?
I can tell from following JJ on social media that it's definitely a private jet.
Maybe he's at the point now, though, where his private jet is an airliner. Like a 747 or something.
Still making a lot of bank, I would assume, right?
Remember when I predicted that he would be a billionaire someday?
Yes.
And people scoffed at me.
How are you feeling about that?
I don't know.
Right,
I'm going to check in on this.
This is where you got to dig into his investments and stuff. Because you're not going to get to be a billionaire by speaking for Old El Paso Taco. And
the big question is whether he took, in lieu of payment, he took stock. Like Jordan did with Nike back in the day.
Yeah.
So if he did that with a few of his companies,
people will not stop eating tacos. That's for sure.
If he thought, oh, this Ford truck company seems like they might turn into something.
You got a little something.
Would you guys
going.
Mind giving me 25% of your company?
You got a little something.
And they're
something.
Like, well, maybe not 25%, JJ, but yeah.
You send him a YouTube of the history of Ford. Like, yeah. Maybe you should educate yourself. Okay, so number three on the list is The Athletic, holding steady at 13. Power ranking of the power rankings. Number two, Connor Orr, SI.com, has the Texans 12th, up three big notches from 15. So this late in the season, it's hard to have big swings and stuff like this. 15 to 12 is a pretty nice jump there, considering you're jumping over teams that jumped over the Broncos, who won big over the Colts last week, things like that. Here's what Connor Orr says about the Texans. Going back through and watching all of Derek Stingley's snaps against Tyreek Hill, one can't help but believe this is a kind of baton passing moment. I remember feeling this way while watching Darrell Revis and Calvin Johnson during the 2010 season, and while I'm sure Hill will be a useful player for years to come, this was the kind of game that we use as a foundational example of why Stingley will finish the season as a top 10 player at the position and begin to rise into the top five. I think he's already there. I can't profess to watch cornerback film, all 22 of every team, but I have a hard time believing that there are more than three or four cornerbacks having a better year than Derek Stingley.
Well, and I think the thing is that, you know, he hasn't, he does not get targeted a lot. And then in a game where all of a sudden he does get targeted a lot, the most he has all season, he comes up with two picks. Because most really good cornerbacks don't typically get a boatload of interceptions. The difference with Stingley is that his ball skills are so much better than almost every other defensive back from the past.
Ball skills are better
decades.
Than most receivers.
Right. I mean, his ability to track the ball, his understanding and awareness of what routes are coming, him just kind of running the route for Tyreek Hill there on that final play, that he's able to come up with a lot of interceptions that other people just might not get. He's got 11. Does he have 11 total in his career now?
I think 11, 11 total picks.
Sauce Gardner has three. He went into last week with two, but he
got one
his
right at the end of the
pick.
Game last this past week. It's not the end all and be all, you know, but it's a fairly big measurement.
Yeah.
So, Stingley doing really, really well. Number one, power ranking of the power ranking. Sean, you have way too many browsers open right now. Here we go. ESPN. Good job, DJ Bien-Aimé and ESPN. They have the Texans, Seth, ninth, back in the top 10 in at least one outlet, and it is ESPN.com. And the category for ESPN.com this week is the biggest improvement that the team has made, I guess, year over year, or maybe during the season here, the way this reads. And the biggest improvement they made is in forcing interceptions. The Texans had three interceptions through the first 5 weeks, which was middle of the pack. They now lead the NFL with 16 since week six. They caught eight interceptions combined against Tua Tagovailoa and Jared Goff, who both had only four interceptions entering their matchup against Houston. The Texans have 19 interceptions on the season, second only to the Minnesota Vikings with 20.
Yeah. And the Vikings, you know, they can still dial it up. It's a little bit, there was a little bit of a lull there for a while where it felt like, okay, teams are catching on to what Brian Flores is doing, but they don't have the same ambush effect, but they're just executing really, they're playing really good defense. I think the takeaways are awesome, and it's more of what you're expecting to see. Last year, they were showing signs of it, but they weren't as opportunistic as you'd want them to be. This year, they wreak havoc. They create all kinds of mayhem, and they end up, even if they're allowing, you know, we've seen times where offense is driving, and then boom, there you go. Drive over with an interception or a forced fumble. The big thing is that you can win lots of games playing that way, but to make it all the way through the playoffs going against really good quarterbacks, at some point the offense has to show up.
Yes.
Like at some point, you can't rely on forcing three or four turnovers every single week in a single elimination tournament. That's where I get nervous about what their ceiling is in the postseason.
Yeah,
I'd love to say ride this defense, but they're not good enough in the red zone. And they still allow too many chunk plays for me to feel like turnovers can be the main difference on a long run.
Yeah, that's a fair concern. We'll go over the scenarios for the Texans in the next segment. They're sitting at the 4 seed right now. What are the chances they can improve their lot in the playoff life here? Robert Hensley sends me notes after the games that he accumulates during the game. Robert's up in the booth with Mark and Andre for every game, you know, tracking stats and things like that. Along those lines with Tua, I mean, this goes to show the Texans, they're not just turning over scrub quarterbacks. They're turning over quarterbacks who have been ultra, ultra careful with the football this year. Jared Goff, as DJ points out there, and he points out Tua, the first interception that Tua threw to Kalen Bullock was the first interception he's thrown in 205 attempts.
Yeah.
You know, he came into the game on Sunday with 185 straight passes without an interception. To contextualize that a little bit, remember how gaga we were over C.J. Stroud going the first however many attempts to start his career without a pick? That number was 192 attempts. So Tua was on that kind of heater when it came to protecting the football, and the Texans got him three times in the last two quarters and change.
And I think the one difference about this Texans defense compared to last year as you approach the playoffs is that they're much more advanced and better at disguising their coverages. They can do things just a little bit exotically in a way that they weren't able to do last year, and they're doing it without making the mental errors. The big takeaway from that game versus the Dolphins for me was, okay, they were able to do some of that stuff, rotating the coverages, but Kalen Bullock still played a clean game in terms of technique, mental errors, all of that stuff. He looked a lot more like a veteran safety. That's a really, really good development, which, you know, and Kalen, all, like, so much credit to him for being a guy that was, I think a lot of people's minds almost brushed aside as a project. Man, he's really come along.
He has, man. That's been great to see, no doubt. All right, Payne and Pendergast, they're your power rankings of the power rankings. Generally speaking, the Texans moving up a little bit this week, but they've got a real chance to impress voters over the next two games, Chiefs and the Ravens. All right, up next, speaking of the Chiefs, the Ravens, a couple teams hovering around the Texans in the playoff standings right now. What are the chances that the Texans can improve their lot in life, and how should that affect the way they handle these last three games? What do you want to see in terms of how the Texans handle their roster in these last few games? We'll get into that coming up.